So today we're gathered here. It's the eve of the installation. Tomorrow's the official day we're celebrating the installation of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. And today is the eve. And some of you were here, physically here on this day. 20th of August, 1973. And I'm sure the anticipation, the build-up for this historic, significant event here in the United Kingdom must have been building quite intensely. I have a question. Was anybody remember if you were physically here at this moment, Narahari Prabhu? Yadabhar Prabhu, who's got Navaswati, Vishaka, four or five hands. Thank you all for being here, God brothers and God sisters, and all the devotees here today. Please, I feel very, uncomfortable is not the word, but a little bit apprehensive, shy, speaking in front of so many wonderful devotees on such an amazing occasion. But we'll try to say a few words today to remind us of the greatness of our beloved Srila Prabhupada and all the devotees who've served him through the decades here in the manor and beyond. So the class, I presume, we were still having... I was not here, I was in Bury Place. That's another story at that time. Prabhu Vishnu Prabhu, I don't know if he's here. Is he here? Maybe not. But he was managing Bury Place. He was very expert at remote management even before social media, mobile phones came in. And he wouldn't be there very much. He would leave me there all the time. I think the whole summer, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada was here probably for the total of 2 months, I would say, during that summer. He went to France, he went to Sweden, I think, also. Maybe not Sweden, he went to France for sure. Maybe somewhere else. But probably a total of 2 months Prabhupada spent here at the manor, that 73 summer. Quite a nice summer. And I must have come over here the grand total of two or three times during the whole 2 months. For various reasons. Primarily, there was everybody else wanted to come for Prabhupada's class, especially for the installation. If Ramadevi were with us today, she would tell us the story how she escaped. She wasn't supposed to escape from Bury Place, but she did. And she made her way over here for the installation. But Krishna took her away and other services. But she was amazing devotees. I think Astasaki, I think she was there then, I can't remember. Virgendra Kumar, some of you remember. Beloved Virgendra Kumar, later on became Bhakti Virgendra Nandana Swami Maharaj. Used to call him Malaysian Swami. Many histories about him. He was one of those special souls, like all of you. Anyway, we were stuck there. So I didn't really witness much what was going on here. We were absorbed in the festival. We had a festival there for Janmashtami, all five of us. A few guests. I can't remember all the details, but there was only about five of us left back. And maybe four. It was a small crew. But was the class here? It would be still in the theatre room. You remember those who were here? Still in the theatre room? On the day or the day before? In here. The day before. Prabhupada was already giving classes here before the installation. Pardon, Navas? Always in the theatre, I know. But on the day of the installation, did the class come here? He gave three classes on that day. Three classes. all the research I've done shows three classes. One in the morning. Prabhupada was giving Bhagavad Gita classes. Not Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Every day, second chapter was first chapter. And then he went to the second chapter. And today, the verse today is a very famous one. It's not this one, by the way. It's also a famous verse. My memory is not that bad. I think this is Bhagavatam. It is. The Prabhupada was lecturing on Matra Sparshas Tukuntia Shetoshna Sukadukada on this day. And then tomorrow the next verse. Whatever it is, next verse. And then he lectured kind of around the Brahma Samhita during the day. And then the evening you had your guest program. The ambassador or somebody came here, some Indian dignitary. Prabhupada gave another class on the meaning of Janmashtami. So he was pretty busy on that day. But I missed the whole thing. But some of you are eternally blessed to be here. And you're all eternally blessed to be here today. So on that note, we'll start the Bhagavatam recital here. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Should we all move to the theatre room? Prabhupada gave class of... might be a little crowded, huh? Yeah, it'd be amazing. I mean, the classes in that theatre room were definitely... I think most of it was a few times I came, but you really experienced you were not in this world. It was somewhere, something very special, those classes. They're always special. They were very, very special. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading a famous verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. I hope no one already, well, I don't hope, that maybe they did, but it doesn't matter, already read this verse or not. It's a verse spoken by Yudhisthira, and this verse is spoken to Vidura. Vidura has just returned from his prolonged pilgrimage. Of course, for obvious reasons, he'd been basically chased out by Duryodhana. So now he's returned. And on his return, Yudhisthira speaks many things, but this is probably the most famous of the verses. So kindly repeat. Bhavat Vidaha Tirtha Bhagavataha Tirtha Bhutaha Svayam Vibho Tirti Kurvanti Tirtani Spa Antastena Ngadabhita Bhavadvida Bhagavatas Tirta Bhutas Vayam Vibho Tirti Kurvanti Tirtani Santakstena Gadabrita Bhavadvida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhutak Svayam Vibho Tirti Kurvanti Tirtani Santakstena Gadabrita Bhavadvida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhutak Svayam Vibho Tirti Kurvanti Tirtani Santakstena Gadabhita.
Vibhuta Svayam Vibho
Kirtani
Santa
Tena Gada Pita
Bhagavat Pita Bhagavatas
Bhagavatas
Ketabhuta Swayam Vibho
Ketabhuta Swayam Vibho Kirti Kavanti Kirtani Santak Fena Gata Pitaha Bhavad Vida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirti Kurvanti Tirthani Santak Stena Gata Pitaha Vaishnavis Kita Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Kirti Kurvanti Tirthani Santaktena Gadapitaha Bhavat, your good self. Vidaha, like. Bhagavataha, devotees. Tirtha, the holy places of pilgrimage. Bhutaha, converted into. Svayam, personally. Vibho. O powerful one, Tirti Kurvanti, make into a holy place of pilgrimage, Tirthani, the holy places, Svantasthena, having been situated in the heart, Gadabrita, the personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Loving Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Purport. The personality of Godhead is omnipresent by His diverse potencies everywhere. Can you hear at the back? You sure? Just as the power of electricity is distributed everywhere within space. Similarly, the Lord's omnipresence is perceived and manifested by His unalloyed devotees like Vidura. Just as electricity is manifested in an electric bulb. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would give that example of an electrician, how he's able to. We look at a wire, electric wire, it just looks like a wire. We cannot perceive the presence of electricity in the wire. But the electrician knows how to, extract or utilize that electrical energy. We may not have that knowledge. Krishna's everywhere. By the presence of the pure devotee, Krishna, as Prabhupada says here, and manifested by His unalloyed devotees. Srila Prabhupada and came here, we heard many wonderful And only a drop, by the way. I mean, all the devotees who were here could probably speak for hours about Prabhupada's, Srila Prabhupada's time here in 73 and the installation and so on. We heard little drops yesterday of nectar of Srila Prabhupada's manifesting Krishna here in the Bhaktivedanta manner. And as you probably know, before it was owned by Lord Pickett, and then it became Pigott. I don't know, and maybe something to do with his behavior, I don't know, but it became Pigott. And later, and of course, it handed over, as we heard yesterday, and previously it was a nunnery. You could say a little bit religious, spiritual-oriented before devotees. We heard the wonderful story of how this property became a place of pilgrimage, not for crows, but a place of pilgrimage for Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis and thousands and thousands of people. And this is all by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. And he showed us how we can keep this dham, this tirtha, as a place of pilgrimage. And we're going to hear about that later. A pure devotee like Vidura always feels the presence of the Lord everywhere. He sees everything in the potency of the Lord and the Lord in everything. One time one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the Vaikuntha like? What is it like? We use Vaikuntha in a broad sense, spiritual world. Prabhupada said, this is the spiritual world. You just can't see it. We're in the spirit, we just can't see. We're looking through our Takshri Krishna Namadi, through our blunt senses, material senses. We can't see the transcendental presence of the Lord everywhere. Pure devotees can see. He sees everything as in the potency of the Lord and the Lord in everything. The holy places all over the earth are meant for purifying the polluted consciousness of the human being by an atmosphere surcharged with the presence of the Lord's unalloyed devotees. This is the real factor which makes a tirtha a holy place, or at least reveals it, is the presence of the unalloyed devotees. The more we try to dedicate our lives to Srila Prabhupada, meditating on how he would like us to serve Radha Gokulananda in this Bhaktivedanta manner, the more Krishna will reveal himself to us. If anyone visits a holy place, he must search out the pure devotees residing in such holy places, take lessons from them, try to apply such instructions in practical life, and thus gradually prepare oneself for the ultimate salvation, going back to Godhead. It was interesting, and I didn't read in depth, but I saw the lectures that Prabhupada was giving around about this time were very much directed towards salvation, and not impersonal salvation, but going back to Godhead. It's what we're here for. Ultimate goal of life, Prabhupada said, is salvation. A couple of times in his lectures he said the same thing. Going back to Godhead, we should never forget this is our goal in life. Prabhupada said, ultimate salvation, going back to Godhead. To go to some holy place of pilgrimage does not mean only to take a bath in the Ganges or Yamuna, or to visit the temples situated in those holy places. We see that many people, they come here, wonderful, busloads, thousands of people, and it's wonderful. They're getting prasadam. Hopefully they're hearing the holy name. they're getting the Sangha of devotees, the darshan of Srila Prabhupada and the deities. But the real essence, as Prabhupada is mentioning here, especially for those of us here assembled today, is to hear the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, to hear from, just like yesterday we had the opportunity to hear from His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj, and tomorrow we have the opportunity to hear from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, I believe. I'm kind of sandwiched in between, you know, like this unpalatable kind of thing. Just build up your appetite for tomorrow's class, you know. Yasyat bhapurhi kuna paitritata kees vadikala tradishubhoma itidhiya. Yatirta bhuti shalilena karji janesha bhigesha eva gokaraham. Most people come to Vrindavan, hopefully not us. And sometimes it's just take a bath, unload one's karmic reactions maybe, get some piety, see the deities, give a donation. It's very beneficial, but it's not the essential purpose for going to a tirtha. Tirtha is made a tirtha by the presence of the pure devotees, or those who are following the pure devotees, who maintain that purity and maintain that spirit of pure devotion. And what does it mean? It means we associate together chanting, hearing, dancing, together in kirtan, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, festival with Krishna in the center. So it's important, most important thing in our lives as we've been hearing, I don't know if it's here or wherever, but the importance of hearing as the primary limb of devotional service. And if we don't develop a taste for hearing about Krishna, and that's what the temples are for, to try to awaken within us an attraction to hearing the name and pastimes and form qualities of Krishna. If we don't develop that, then we cannot go back to Godhead. So one should find the representatives of Vidura who have no desire in life save and except to serve the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any tinge of fruitive action or utopian speculation. They're pure anyabilasita shunyam. They are in the actual service of the Lord, specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. And we could all see Srila Prabhupada, everything he did was hearing and chanting. Even management became everything. It was glorification of Krishna. That's the lesson he's teaching us, hearing the instructions of the spiritual master, applying them in our own lives. Not that we come here for socializing. And those who go to the holy tirthas with this mentality of, you know, this body, which is made of three material elements, and these family members are mine, and this country, England, I love thee, is my country. I'm English, I'm Indian, I'm American. This type of mentality. Or we go to holy places just to take a bath in the river Jamuna or Ganga or whatever river it may be. But we don't take advantage to hear and chant in the association of pure devotees. I liken no better than a cow or an ass. They also, monkeys, cows, hogs, may be living in the holy dham. That conch has been blowing at the same time for the last 50 years. Amazing, eh? Mangal Arati, devotees running down the stairs, singing Samsara Dava, Tulsi Puja. In Bury Place, we were worshipping Basil Devi. We had Basil Puja for quite some time till it was discovered. Japa. We always used to sit together and sleep, I mean, and chant during japa, I mean. Some of us would sleep, maybe. Devotees used to work real hard, right, in the early days. Really hard. I mean, you didn't flinch an eyebrow. If you missed a whole night's sleep, it was no excuse. Next day meant a whole day's service. It wasn't like, oh, I'm tired. Prabhupada. It's still there. We connect. Even on Sankirtan, on the marathons, Prabhupada say, for you it's samadhi. Devotees would go on the marathon sometimes for days almost without eating and sleeping, practically. Not entirely. You know, those marathons. And then the last year when Prabhupada was here, we haven't got much time to go into detail, but it was a non-stop book marathon from about April through to the end of the year. And not only here, in LA, in France, Germany, New York, everywhere that devotees could, we were on a non-stop marathon. Why? Well, of course, we wanted Srila Prabhupada to stay with us forever. We wanted to please Srila Prabhupada because we knew that distributing his books was so dear to him. We didn't know much. I remember when I picked up Srila Prabhupada at the airport in 77. We were driving here. At that time, I'll tell a little story. This is my funny story. 1976, I'll go back 1 year. Dhanavir Maharaj, Jai Tirtha, and Manjuali, and Tulsi, and Dhanavir, and a few other devotees came here. And we heard a little bit about that, the glorious service of those devotees. You know, whatever happened after that, service never goes in vain. We're here today. This is one of the things we heard, the wonderful service that Jai Tirtha Prabhu rendered here in bringing the manor to a wonderful standard. And one of the things was Dhanavir, then he was a Vanaprastha, came over, he'd started the Bhakta program. You've heard of the Bhakta program? You know? Yeah. People, we heard somebody said yesterday, maybe it was Kishore in his presentation, Memory Lane or whatever it was called last night, was saying how we used to pick people up on the street at rock festivals. We used to go to the Glastonbury, Windsor rock festivals and just pick people up off the grass and bring them here. They didn't know where they were until the next day, you know. Shave them up if you got them early enough. We had amazing Bhakta program Dhanavir Maharaj set up here. We had a devotee named Virabhadra. Some of you may remember him. English devotee named Virabhadra. He was empowered. He was unusual, but he was empowered. He had this knack, extraordinary knack. See, every devotee has got a little bit of the unlimited qualities of Srila Prabhupada, you know. And we'll get on to that in a little more detail in a minute, but it's incredible. This devotee had this ability almost to read people's minds. When people could come, he almost knew what was best for them. We had a halfway house room over in what used to be the stables. And all the guests would come, Rohini Nandan Prabhu would send them out from some Bury place. He would preach in a storm down there, 76, huh? And he would send them here, and then Virabhadra would arrange to pick them up from Radlett station and bring them here. Then he would look after them, These were a little bit more elevated in consciousness, you could say. Not so, they were not the, you know, the ones experiencing ecstasy and bliss. They were other persons. And then he'd bring them, he'd look after them. And he was so gentle with people. So gentle. Everyone loved him. You know, he knew exactly. And then he slowly introduced them to the regular devotees, you know, those fanatics. Slowly but surely. And if he saw that they were a little bit of a glimmer of an attraction for pure devotional service, he would gradually plug them in. And then slowly, not immediately, into the Bhakta program. Little, they'd come for a class or something like that, and sit them down. We would, every day, Dhanavir Prabhu had me make banana cake. Every day, rich banana cake. We'd never have a shortage of prasadam on the Bhakta program. Dhanavir Maharaj very much liked banana cake, by the way. I think there was a little bit of, you know, enthusiasm on his part for it also. Anyway, I was his assistant for about, maybe 5 months when the program started, more or less. And it was an extraordinary experience. I will never forget some of the events that took place, but we're not going to talk about those. We're going to talk about the final event that took place. I was at my wit's end. I couldn't stand it any longer. The only time in my life since I joined the movement that I left. I blooped. Not exactly blooped, but a kind of a bloop. I didn't know how to escape. I was thinking, oh, what shall I do? We didn't have the Gaudiya Mass to go to in those days. What am I going to do? There's nowhere to go. There was no Ritvik. There was no Gaudiya Mass. There was nothing. It was ISKCON and ISKCON. I didn't have any money, not a penny. I couldn't, how am I going to escape? I couldn't handle it any longer. It was so intense. I can't imagine what the Bhaktas were feeling. They seemed to like it. I thought I was austere, but this was too much. 12 o'clock one night, I got up, tiptoed down the stairs, my little bag, walked out that door in the prasadam room, no one goes out there, went round the lake, all the way round the lake, over the fence into the field, walked to the A41, walked all the way up the A41 beyond Watford, somewhere up, I know the name of the little town up there. And I was tired. I laid down in the forest there. It was a warm evening. I made sure it was the spring. So, spring, this would be spring 77. Yes. And I laid down there and slept. Got up in the morning. I didn't know what to do. I started hitchhiking. I thought I'll go to my parents' house and just think what to do. They lived in Swindon. I hitchhiked. Everyone, I got a lift. I was dressed like this. Everyone was saying, what are you doing here? Where are you going? Are you from the Hare Krishna temple? I got home, my parents weren't there. I got the key from a neighbor. I convinced him I was their son. They didn't believe me at first. You can imagine what it's like, you know. They'd never seen me before, you know. Never seen a son dressed like this. I thought I just got at the mental hospital or something. And then they eventually got in. I think they phoned my parents. Yes, yes, yes. I got in. They weren't there. I sat there, you know. Now what am I going to do? One day passed. I thought, whew. The next morning, ding, ring, 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 the phone's ringing. I didn't know what to do. Should I answer it or not? I picked it up. Lo and behold, it was Dhanavir on the phone. Is that you? Haribo Dhanavir Prabhu. Are you okay? Are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay now. I'm okay. I'm really sorry. He was so apologetic that, you know, he was just thinking, he had such a heart, how he could bring me back into the temple. So he said, Dhyanananda Prabhu, I've been talking to the other devotees, and I think this, no, I don't think this is the right service for you right now. And I already knew that. And and then he said, I've been talking to Amita and Vichitavirya and other devotees and Vajrahari and so on, and we would like you to become, we have a growing Sankirtan party. Amita Hand. I don't know if you were still here then, Nara. Were you still here in 76?
I was in Ireland.
You were in Ireland now. I can't remember you being with us then. But, you know, Prabhu Vishnu had gone off. Bhakti Vikash had gone off. Maharaj is, are you here? Yeah, he's there. Bhakti Vikash. Were you still here in 76? You were, weren't you?
I was.
Yeah, so you were part of that burgeoning Sankirtan party.
I think I was the next one.
Huh?
I think I was the next one on the Bhakti.
You were... You were, yeah, there's a few stories of me and you, me handing over to you, and then Kripa Maya and others. Yeah, standing up. It was so intense, it was unreal, you know. You had the same kind of experience, maybe. And not at all. Yeah. Yeah, you had to get up before everyone else, wake everyone else up, get ready, everything, this and that. It was, woof. Anyway, said, Sankirtan coordination. We need a coordinator for the Sankirtan. Amita's going out there, and all the other devotees, Kalyapani and all of you who were there then. The ladies' party may have just started. I don't know if it already started. This is early 77, so that was going. And Bhaja was doing that one over there, and they wanted me to coordinate the men. So this was just my life. Right from the word go, it was Prabhupada's books, you know. And even, I was treasurer here for 2 years. And you took over for me from a couple of weeks. Then they brought me back again. That was another story. I won't embarrass you. And that's what I'm going to talk about now. Because we heard the beautiful, eternal, no one, I don't think anyone in the world could have done what Shyamasundara Prabhupada did for Prabhupada. In, you know, connecting like he did with George Harrison, the Beatles, and other people also, many celebrities, people we wouldn't even dream of, you know, speaking to practically. They were his friends. He was empowered, special personality. But he did live in the clouds a little bit in certain areas. And one of them was the financial area. He had a checkbook, but he never knew if there was any money to back it up. I love his books. I read them all. In 3 days, 4 days, I think I read all of them, practically speaking. You can't stop reading. He's just... incredible. Even there he writes something like, well, he wrote a check out, and, you know, it's not exactly these words, but with a hope that it would clear, things like this. And many of them. I mean, I came in just after all this saga had gone on with the Rath Yatra in 73 and all the wonderful, not all the wonderful things, but some of them. It was when Jaya Tirtha then came in later, and it made everything very beautiful. And gold leafing here all over the place and beautiful. I was just wondering, where's that beautiful kind of gold decorative wallpaper that you used to have? It's gone. It was so beautiful. Maybe it needed replacing. And so many things, the floor, and so many things were brought up to, you know, just a nice standard. But that was in 73, as we heard, you know, everything was very... Prabhupada transformed it. It's like become a place for crows, practically speaking. It was overgrown. Transformed it to a place for swans, you know, Vaishnavas. But still, externally, it was a bit run down. And and beautiful. He had lovely, beautiful chandeliers. And if some of the early devotees will remember those chandeliers, they're not here now, by the way. But they were very nice ones. And a beautiful helicopter. I mean, we heard about the helicopter yesterday, and that in 73. That, by the way, is the only time Prabhupada went in a helicopter. He was supposed to go in Malaysia. I wrote the book Prabhupada in Malaysia, and many people thought he went in a helicopter. It was not true. He was going in one, but he arrived a day late, so it all got cancelled, so he went by car. It was advertised like that. This is the only time he went in the helicopter. There's a funny picture. It's in Germany at Schloss Schwettershof. You were there, Nara, I think, when Prabhupada was there in Schloss Schwettershof. Huh?
Yep.
You remember that incident when Hansaduda and the Sanctan vans went to the airport and Prabhupada came back and Hansaduda said something like, did you like the way, you know, the reception at the airport? They're all beautiful new Mercedes vans. We couldn't have dreamt of that here. They had these beautiful Mercedes vans and they went to the airport. And yes, Prabhupada said, very nice, but in London they collected me in a helicopter. And then somebody, maybe Hansel, said, he said, yes, Prabhupada, and they're still trying to pay for it. Now, Baswari, you don't know. You were here, but you weren't doing the treasury then. You don't know what it was like. You'd have had a nervous breakdown, I'll tell you. I mean, the things we had to go through doing that treasury, huh?
I was here when the babies came.
I was the one taking... Oh, I'll tell the story. I was the one taking him around. Probably 75. 75. Yeah. I'll tell the whole story if you want, because I was with him from the minute he arrived to the minute he left. Yeah, there were so many debts. Did you know that we hadn't paid the rent in Bury Place since 1970? It was a £5,000 bill. We were only paying about £180 a month or something. It was a £5,000 bill. They never paid the rent. They overspent, God knows how much, on the Rath Theatre in 73. It was amazing overspent. Mahavishnu gave everything from his inheritance, but Shyamasundara Prabhu and whoever else was holding the checkbook didn't check the bank balance before they wrote out all the checks for everything under the sun. Magazine, like the most glossy, expensive magazine ever printed in ISKCON, I believe, you know, cost a fortune. Each magazine weighed half a kilo. They were exciting days, but, you know, exciting days. But, you know, everyone has a part to play, a special part. Shamsur had the part that no one in the universe practically could play. Incredible. And we're all here because of that. And then there's another phase. As we heard phases yesterday in the manor, in terms of we saw the early years and then this year and that year and different growths and, you know, the Save the Manor period and this and that. I can't remember all the terms used. And we had a book distribution phase, but there was also another phase, which is perhaps a little bit more black and white and clear cut. There are GBCs here. And Shamsundar was our GBC, of course, when we joined. He was our GBC from probably 670, whenever the GBC was formed, up till basically some years. But Prabhupada then, because he was hardly ever here, he was traveling with Prabhupada a lot, and then he got involved in a very unusual activity. And history, maybe it doesn't account for this much, but he got involved in gems. And this is another thing which brought us into debt. Most people don't know too much about it. I had to, in the middle of the night sometimes, go down to what's the safe in the prasadam room, open the safe and put these, boxes, trunks of rubies in there and things like this. Most of them were almost of no value whatsoever. I'll get back to the bailiff in a minute, don't I?
The ruby story, there was kind of a regime change eventually.
Huh?
Rubies were in trunks.
Trunks, yeah.
Yeah, and we didn't have 2 pennies to rub together. And we looked in these trunks and thought, wow, what are these? So I took them into central London to some valuer. And I said, what's this? He said, oh, they're rubies. He said, they're going to be worth millions. I said, yeah, when? He said, in about 2 million years. And if you want to know where they ended up, we used them to fill the potholes.
Yeah. Thanks for adding that one. Filling the potholes in the road. They were as valuable as stone. And, you know, so much money was put into this. Borrowed from Prabhupada's book fund, which we had to pay back. So many things on the sideline. But it was all part of a transcendental journey. Don't take it negatively. Lessons to learn. We heard some Balagopal yesterday about the deities when Prabhupada said, don't send them unless you got the money. It was a long, I think Prabhupada already picked up on that one even in, you know, early on, you know, in 73. We had no money here in London. None. We were bankrupt. Right? Uh-huh. The day I joined, the temple almost fainted when I gave them £400 the day I joined the temple. They thought they could do anything under the sun. We're millionaires, you know. Nobody did that. I was working for about 3 months before I joined.
There was not even anything to prasadam at one stage.
I know.
We couldn't afford to buy any groceries. And somehow I was at the field out there and I stuck a fork in the ground and I pulled it out and there was a potato on the end of it.
When we had nothing to eat here, no rice, no many days left. The first winter here was so austere. There was no electricity much of the time. Devotees were wrapped in blankets, you know. It was so cold. And no food. Really, really sparse. I mean, not no food, but very sparse. You know what it was like, you know. Bhakti Pramod, I mentioned his name yesterday, was our life savior many times. I'd phone him up. And he'd come in with a car, you know, with a big sack of potatoes and a sack of rice many days. We didn't have enough money to go out and get them. When they made me the treasurer, I mean, I was a pretty, you know, you could say, I think I was quite reasonable compared to some treasurers. You remember Bhakti Vignashana Shringa Maharaj? Hey. Ooh, he was the Scrooge number one. Scottish, you know. We heard about the Scottish Scrooges yesterday. We heard about those.
In one time in Barry Place, they had a flu epidemic, and there must have been 12, 15 devotees, like sick, like real sick, on their back. And someone had a prescription. And I thought, well, go down to the treasury and get the money. It was only 2 shillings or something. And I said, went down and said, look, we need this prescription. They're all half dead up there.
Yeah. I remember one devotee, he was with us yesterday, I'm not going to embarrass him, but he was just shaving up and he, you know, we didn't have enough to buy new blades and his head was dripping with blood, you know. The devotee went and asked the treasurer, went and asked Nishingham, you have a blade? He said, here, take some pamphlets, go out and beg for it. There's blood dripping down. Yeah. Those were the days. We should reintroduce this. This is what you need. Make a man of you. You know, you guys are all wimps. You know what it's like. Huh? What's that? Here he is.
The arty flame would come around, and that was your sense gratification for the day. You could warm your hands.
Warm your hands. Yeah. This is not untrue either. And that was a little bit later, Marge, if you were talking about when you came in. I was probably the treasurer then. Huh? No heating. When I was a treasurer, I tell you, when they made me treasurer and I saw all these bills, you know, I have this kind of accounting, some previous life maybe, I don't know, but it's one of those things, you just without any. I'd never had training, but it's one of those things, you know. Simple formula taught by my father. Very simple. You've got £10. You don't spend more than £10. It's not difficult. It's quite simple. Accounting is very easy. 2 + 2 = 4, not 5. Not difficult. But in those days, we couldn't work it out, you know. I did economics at college, so a little bit of that was in me. But besides that, you know, when I came over here in January 74. I would just visit it before that. I was the treasurer in Bury Place from after the Sanctam Party was dissolved because we got the manor. And that travelling party we heard about yesterday, and a treasurer in Bury Place. So, but basically the manor was the, you know, the centre of it. And we worked. I'll get down to the bailiff, don't worry, I'm not going to forget the bailiff. Don't worry, I'm not going to go to Llanelli. I'm not going there on the beach to Swansea yet. I'll forget that one today, okay. But we came over here and we walked. We had no money. I walked from the Rallet station to here. And we started. We saw that it was like unending, one by one, unending unpaid bills. And Mukunda was the president, Mukunda Prabhu, Nan Maharaj was the president. We've gone through about 3 presidents since the opening, I believe. I think Dhananjaya Vamadeva, I think, was president for a short while as well from America. Pardon? That was later. Yeah, later. No, he never became official and president. No, Vamadeva, Dhananjaya, then Mukunda. Mukunda came. But everything happened so quickly in those days. It seemed like 1 month seemed like, you know, 10 years now. It's like, you know, it's so many things happened in a short span of time. I was looking at the dates today, I thought, God, that seemed like 5 years of events took place in just 1 year. It was incredible. Anyway, they changed a few times. So we discussed and we got this accountant in Wembley. I've forgotten his name. Really nice Indian man. I stayed with him sometimes for days on end, going every day for months trying to sort out. Never, ever had they done the accounts since the day one, practically. Trying to do the accounts here for the manor with this accountant. And he was great. He was really good. Not financially, but accountability, he saved us here at that time. He's really good. Anyway, that was one thing, and then all these debts are there. And Prabhupada got to hear different things, you know, different devotees would give him different information, and there's a lot of, you know, different sides of looking at these things. But the being in the centre there and being sat next to Mukunda Maharaj in the same room, knowing what was going on, it was kind of privy to what was going on, pretty much, more than most, I guess, financially and otherwise, too. Dates, and that's that, I cannot say, but sometime in 74, late Shamsundar Prabhu, it came to Prabhupada's attention, we had so many debts, the chandeliers disappeared somewhere, I don't know what happened to them. anyway, many things were going on. We had Prabhupada saw that there was a need to do something. We were in dire straits. We were in dire straits financially. Very little income. The life membership program had not started. Partha started perhaps in 75, maybe, I think. And there was not much income at all. Things were really, really austere. As Bhakti Vikashmaya said, even when he joined, we couldn't have any heating. It wasn't possible. We couldn't afford to pay the bills. The only thing we could afford, as far as vehicles were concerned, was a vehicle. At that time, we go into the market to get free vegetables, not to buy vegetables, free vegetables. Rohini Nandan Prabhu, that time, before the Bhakti program came along, was the head pujari here for quite a while. There was no money for the deities, no budget for the deities. You had to go out and get it. The devotees would sometimes in their japa period would walk out and, you know, liberate some of the local flowers. We heard a few of the reasons why the local neighbours were not too keen on us. There were a few others too. We could tell a few stories. It wasn't just because of there weren't many people coming in those days, by the way. The first Diwali was in 74, not 75, November, 74. That was like the first kind of, you know, big thing. And Jamasti was going on, but it wasn't so organized. Then in 75 it started kicking off. Another, we had other devotees. There was a very enthusiastic devotee from Yugoslavia. I forget, I don't remember his name. He claimed to be a crown prince or something of some Yugoslavian king of some kind. He was amazing. He was quite eccentric. He loved to go in the village. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. 5:15 in the morning. Wake up, you're in Maya. We had devotees like this, you know. They were really enthusiastic. We were saving grace was back to Harry. If you remember Harry, he was our cop. The local cop used to live on the corner house up there. He would be like Prabhupada very much. He was our saving grace in those days, to be honest. You know, he'd defend us as much as he could, at least. Local cop, real nice guy, Harry. Anyway, still, we had all these debts, and we didn't know what the heck to do about it. So Prabhupada said, can't carry it. So he asked Hansaduta, it's there, right there, you can read it. He asked him to come here. It wasn't perhaps everyone's cup of tea. Hansaduta is a very extraordinary devotee, like every devotee is. And every devotee has, you know, every endeavor is covered with fault, you could say. But he had, in Germany, he'd got the troops, you know, lined up. And they're all collecting lots of money, and he liked to sing, and he made these records. Maybe they're still around. What was the record called? That
Beautiful Hare Krishna People.
Was it Beautiful Hare Krishna People? I know what the public thought about that one. Huh? Hare Krishna Festival. It's all about, you know, on the back were all these pictures feeding people all over the, you know, where, in this far distant countries where people haven't got anything to eat and things like that, you know. And it was nice. The record wasn't, I mean, I guess if you like that type of music, it was nice. And he brought over some of his leaders to England to organize us. We were not so organized. It was 74. And he brought later 74. There were many things that were taking place simultaneously in the background. But he brought his troops over and we reorganized the Sangha. Maybe in early 75 we got cracking on that one. And we were going out, and I don't know all the details who came over, but I remember Alanath, who later became Paramadvaiti Swami. And although I was doing the treasury, I had to go out with him for about a month. I handed over, I don't know who it was to at that time, maybe it was Bhakti Prakash, I can't remember, Lapati in those days, but somebody took it over for a month until they called me back again. But I went with him for a month or two, and it was the most amazing Sankirtan experience. Maybe we had four or five German leaders over here organizing us to collect money. Well, we did collect money. And we did collect money. Now, credit is where credit's due. He came here for a job. And another person, as Shyamasundara Prabhu, is eternally glorified and deserves every inch of it for what service he's rendered. Hansaduta also deserves glory for the service he rendered, painful as it may have been. It's like, you know, when you eat too many sweets and you get rotten teeth, you have to go to the dentist. It's not the dentist's fault that you have to have your teeth pulled out. You know, you have to sit there with a drill. We could have avoided it, but anyway, that's history. So he organized us all in different ways, and I was on his part. He was fantastic. I mean, we laugh about it whenever we see. I haven't seen him for years. Whatever he's doing, I don't know, but we always used to laugh about it like anything, as we do, as Dhanavir Maharaj, or as Shiva Maharaj does when we talk about some of the extraordinary pastimes we had here in England. And he was like, he would have been good in the, what was it called in the Second World War? The what were those leaders of the German army called? He was excellent, expert. 6:30. On the street. We were on the street at 6:30 every morning. As soon as the bakery opened, baking shop, the milk float would come along, bottle of ice cold milk, and a hot loaf of bread. That was our breakfast. On the street, 6:30. You know, some drunk guy, you know, the postman, you know, some Guy on his way to work, you know. 6:30, we were not allowed back in the van until 6:30 at night. Not at all. Whew. It was, to me, it was like, wait a minute, let me think, why did I come to the Hare Krishna movement? I almost forgot why I came here. Have you ever had that problem? You forget why you came here in the first place? I think it's still around, you know. We sit around, you know, wasting our damn time. We haven't got much time. We damn it, because we go on this, you know, social media for hours a day sometimes, forgetting Krishna, talking unnecessary, doing so many stuffs. Oh, but this was like, I question myself, I don't know if this is really, I don't know if I did join the movement, if this was what I had to do. I didn't mind going out all day and doing this, that, and the other, but trying to sell paintings. And he would pin people against the store, against the wall. Pin them against the wall. He was tough, you know. You know George Harrison? You know George Harrison? He made this record. Go on. I won't tell the rest of the story. But I can see people like... Escape. He was heavy. And he had this a brilliant... I don't know what he called it. But he could tell where you were if you were trying to skive off from the street, you know. I would go in the church sometimes just to get some relief. You know. 10 minutes later, he'd be in there. What are you doing? Get me back out. He would go back to the van, bring the records, and we'd have this, you know, boom, boom, like this. Prabhu Vishnu was brilliant. He was a top man. He cracked 100 records in the day. He set a record. I think it was in Norwich. He cracked the record. Anyway, I'll tell you an interesting facet of our philosophy. Well, you know, I could quote a verse, but we'll just go straight into it. But, you know, how Krishna knows our hearts. And what is this all for? Sounds crazy. But everything we go through has a deeper reason. Everything we see is to bring us to the point where we actually surrender. And I remember we were in somewhere in Lancashire, I think it was Preston. And it was like my last straw. Last straw. I thought, this is it. This is the only other time I almost felt like, you know, disappearing in the middle of the night. He would have probably caught me, though. He was too clever. I'd have been court-martialed. I don't know what to do. Anyway, and I just started praying. Maybe one of the few times in my devotional life I started praying from the bottom of my heart. Krishna, Krishna, if this is really what you want me to do for eternity. I didn't know if it was ever going to end. It felt like that. I thought, you have to give me the strength. I don't have it. I can't do it. You have to help me. I can't carry on like this. I'm too fallen, whatever it is. I can't do it. I prayed. And next morning, 6:30, out on the street. It was like a different world. I was laughing and dancing all day long. It was like a party. I didn't care what was going on. It was something very special experience. And then I came back to the temple that weekend. We would stay not so long, 2 to 3 weeks, I think, of that weekend. We came back and Hansa Duda came up to me. And he said, Jananda, I'm really sorry to disappoint you, but we need you back in the treasury again. I didn't say anything. I just laughed. Krishna, you know everyone's heart. You know what's to be done. You know, and I was back in the treasury again. Which was for me at that time was good service. It was also working with the Sanctam party, the money, counting the money every night on Saturday night whenever they came back. Stay up all night counting all the coins and all the money, organizing the vans with Barnes Hire, with this incredible guy named Charlie Barnes. He lived nearby, Bournemouth or somewhere. And he owned, he and his brother, they owned this rental company of vehicles. You know, these, and he really liked us. He became a life member. He was one of our first life members in 75. I think Kulashekar Prabhu, who was another star of the early days, he made him a member, I believe. And he was really nice guy. And he had, you know, the office down the east end of London. He'd go down there. We'd get these vehicles. And he gave us really good vehicles, the best vehicles at the best price. And we'd send the devotees out. Oh, God, this is difficult not to mention your name now, Hari Prabhu. I'm not going to go there.
You want me to send stories?
Well, there's so many stories here. Okay. I'm not going to do another one. I'm not going to tell it. I'm going to tell another one. Because most of our devotees did not have licenses. Mr. David Evans, that's Narahari Prabhu, did have a license. So whenever the devotees had an accident, which was rather frequent, who was the driver? David Evans. Because otherwise there was no insurance. We had devotees. Well, ladies' party. Yeah, we had a ladies' traveling party. I won't mention the lady in charge of it. Anyway, engines do blow up if you don't put water in them. Going down the highway. Namo Vishnu Padaya. Driving the car, by the way. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bastaya. Oh, amazing. And one of our dear godbrothers, he didn't realize how high the vehicle was, and he drove full speed into a car, you know, underground car park. Bang! The roof flattened. Smash into bollards. Every week, every few weeks, one vehicle at least would come back all smashed, you know. One didn't come back at all, but that's another story. Nara knows that only too well. And every time I have, they say, who's the driver? I say, David Evans. Why didn't you get another driver? He's ruining all our vehicles. It wasn't him ever. He was a good driver. And I had to give his name. And it was such a scene, you know. Anyway, one day, there were all these bills still building up. We were collecting money, but there were still so many bills. One day, the bailiffs came. You know what a bailiff is? You call them bailiffs in America? In England, we call them. They still call bailiffs? You know what they do? They come from the court, right? So many people are putting claims to get their money back, you know. But the bailiff, a big guy, he came here one day. I was escorting him around, you know, looking here and there. Oh, he starts, oh, nice vehicles. Get a pretty penny for these vehicles. All on lease. All on rent. None of them were ours. Not one. One beaten up old car was out there, which would cost money to carry away. The kitchen. Let's look in the kitchen. All beaten up old second, third hand equipment, which we got from somewhere. Not worth it, you know, not worth as much as the rubies. Then we went, Gestetner machines! We had these Gestetners in the theater room, all on hire. Not ours. What's this room? We're in this room. This is our dining room. Well, maybe there's some tables and chairs in there. Nothing. Just the floor. Dining room? What's that? Dining room? They're doing upstairs, you know, what's this? The living rooms. He didn't go in. I didn't take him in Prabhupada's room. He never went. We took him up the stairs to the living room. So there were some beds and nothing. Plain floors. Stinky old sleeping bags. Nothing. Everywhere we went, nothing, nothing, nothing. He's putting, you know, X everywhere on all the boxes. Went here, there and everywhere. Offices, just some, you know, desks you wouldn't want to sit on now if you knew you paid to sit there. Everything was like, you know, old, second-hand, broken down. We had no money. You know. Then we said, what's this room? I said, this is our temple room. He said, what's that? I said, it's difficult to explain. But can you take your shoes off, please? And he took his shoes off. And I said, you'll see when you get in there what this is. We came in the door. Someone's got their mobile on, I think. Unless it's an alarm clock. Wake up. Good idea. Time for prasadam. If you can, if you slept through this class, you can sleep through the through a war, I think. So we came. I came. He came in behind me into this room, right through there. Many pastimes coming through that door. We came through that door there. I bowed down. I looked up at this bailiff. He couldn't believe it. He thought he was having an hallucination or something. He was looking at the dadis, you know. His eyes were like, oh, and his mouth had dropped. He didn't know what to make of it all. He was completely stunned. I bowed down again, and he bowed down. He went out the door, another X. Now, there was one more thing, the major thing of all. The titles for the property. This looks like a valuable property. We heard how much it costs yesterday. More than enough to cover the debt. Titles for the property? We don't have any. It doesn't belong to us. It still belonged to George. It was about 1980 when he finally signed over the property to ISKCON. And there was some legal costs. I won't get into that. But at that time, we didn't own it at all. We were peppercorn rent, maybe £1 or £10 a year. I can't remember what it was. Next to nothing per year, just for legal reasons. He had nothing. He took prasadam and went away. Interesting. Those were interesting days, but let's give credit where credit's due. I mean, there's many other things there at that time I could read you, but it's getting late. Many letters from Prabhupada back and forth. Some of you have seen, some of you haven't, on this particular subject. But we're going to finish off with one or two things. And you know, that whole Isand, when Jayatirtha Prabhu came in as our GBC, which was a great relief in one sense, although Hansadu did inspire. During that period, by the way, there was a major upheaval here at the Bhaktivedanta Manor. One of the biggest, perhaps the biggest, in terms of relativity. Upheaval here, and we're kind of in the middle of it. And a lot of stuff is not known to a lot of devotees, what was going on behind the scenes, and doesn't need to be. But again, it was all part of a bigger plan Krishna has, to bring us to surrender. Everything has its positivity, it's got its funny side, its painful side, its this side and that side. But everything, Krishna's hand is working behind everything to bring us to the point. He's not. All these things are coming and going. He's looking at our hearts, trying to help us to develop this loving heart, a heart of surrender to Him. And it doesn't just mean surrender. It means, you know, with love, ultimately. But at least that point that we realize in the path of surrender, that depending on the Lord's mercy, not that we can do it ourselves. We are not the doer. And Prabhupada said, the problem here during that period is you all want to be the Lord of the manor. The letter says that. You want to be the Lord of the manor. You're not the Lord of the manor. They're the Lord of the manor. You want to be the boss. You're not the boss. Prabhupada wrote it. You know, he said, that's your problem. You want to take over and think you can do better, and you are the boss. Something like that. It's not our business. Our business is to serve. Many interesting things took place. I mean, I don't want to get into too much detail there, but it relocated devotees in many different ways. The repopulation of the manors in end of 74, it would have been, I think. The population of the manor went down considerably, maybe even 50%. It went right down very quickly when there was a lot of back and forth. And eventually there was a meeting. Prabhupada sent Bhagavan over to the manor. He came over from France, and Hansadutta was there. We had a big meeting in the prasadam room there. And the discussion went on. Eventually it was decided, strangely enough, by one and all, that Hansadutta was... Prabhupada asked him to be there because of the situation was so chaotic. And at that meeting, then Prabhupada, Hansadutta was Dewar said, you choose who the president would be, next president. It was all over who was the president. And he shocked everyone out of their socks. Well, we didn't have socks, but he shocked us out of our out of our dhotis. We didn't afford socks in those days. Shocked us out of our dhotis. And he appointed Prabhavishnu as the president of the manor. He'd just come back from Sankirtan, you know. He just came back from the meeting. Everyone was called back. He never thought. His whole life is like that, by the way. He wake up the next day and found out he's taking sannyas today. He had 12 hours notice of taking sannyas. He had maybe 12 minutes notice of being the president here. GBC, his life was like that. You know, that's how it was. If you were asked to be the president this morning, that meant now. How do I do it? Find out. You'll find out. Just do it. Right? They won't let you go to 6 years training college somewhere and, you know, then you have to wait another 10 years until the other one gives up his, you know, gives up his role. Straight in there, boy. Get in there. Learn the hard way. Right, Nara? Yeah, I like that. It was fun, though. Huh? Prabhupada for you, Prabhupada. Anything. We go to hell for Prabhupada. Anything. Amazing days. And, you know, a lot of devotees didn't agree with that. And they did left for different reasons. And they went other places and did great service. And within 3 months, Bhaktivikash Maharaj is gone. But maybe some of them sitting here today joined within the next 3 months. I don't remember exactly everyone's name. Kalyapani, Sachivak, Gokulana, Lananda, Anandamoy, maybe Bhaktivikash. So many joined within those next 3 or 4 months. We had the same number of devotees here again within 6 months. And they were all young. Girls too. I can't remember the girls' names. We weren't allowed to know their names. We don't know what they look like, you know. Right? It was like a bit artificial, but it was kind of like that. And Prabhupada said that in one letter I got here. He said, be very careful at the manner that the relation, the association between girls and boys is very strict. No mixing, unless they're married. No mixing. He was strict on that. At least in his letters, he was strict. A lot of things we don't really apply nowadays. Anyway, that's just a little history about something which, you know, has a big story, and you hear a bit of about it here and a bit there, but something is there. Just to see the amazing lives that devotees went through and the joy, jubilant, as Maharaj mentioned yesterday, they were jubilant. We were very jubilant, like dancing peacocks sometimes. Huh? We didn't mind, you know. All these difficulties were so small compared to the unending good fortune of having this opportunity to serve Prabhupada. And you know, in the beginning, Prabhupada, of course, you probably heard this week already, the name here was Nugokul in the very, very beginning here at the manor. Radha Gokul Ananda, Nugokul. And Prabhupada said that, you know, our most important business here was cows, looking after cows. This is our business. He wanted 150 cows here. Well, Dan and Jayapur tells that story. Maybe he told it. I don't know if he told it this week. Prabhupada said, then get another 150 acres if you need 1 acre for each cow. Buy another 150 acres. So you've got another 50 acres or whatever. It's a good start. And, and the last, just to cap that off, I'm in that car coming from the Heathrow Airport to the manor. I was the Sankirtan coordinator. We were on this incredible marathon all the way through the year, trying to just do books by the tens of thousands. We were going out there. Yes, records were also going out, but mainly we were just doing books. Every record meant a big book. Remember Hari Das? Were you here then? I think you came in at that time. We were just doing every day. If you had like 100 big books each a day like that, you know. On fire. We had 80... Between the girls and the boys, we had about 80 devotees on full-time Sankirtan at that year. Full-time, not just once a year or once every 2 months or something. all the time on the street, you know, in London and all over the country. Amita was off to Iceland. Amita was a real pioneer. My God, he was a pioneer. Probably wish she had left by that time. That's another story. We won't get into that one, but it's amazing what those devotees were doing. Ananda Moya, Vamsivadana, Punyatama, Tyaga, Tony, Bhava, Bill. So many incredible amounts of books going out. It was just, we couldn't hardly keep, books were coming in by the lorry load, you know, filling up. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj Raghavir then was looking after the books coming in, and we were looking after the books going out. And it was incredible. Everything was just like going crazy with book distribution all over the world. Competition at its peak, you know. We had spies in France, spies on the West Coast, knowing what's going on, how many books are there one day left of the week, how many books have they done, we've got to do more. Oh, and Bhagavan had his spies everywhere, you know. It's really espionage, it's really exciting times, you know. I used to go over to France quite often to see what was going on over there, and it was quite a scene. And anyway, in the car, and Dhanavir and Vipramukhi had come in, and they were making devotees like anything. Every month we had at least 4 to 8 new bhaktas. It was like a conveyor belt, you know. They go on a bhakta program. Ankota, where's Ankota? You came in that time. Is he here? He was one who came in. Adi was already in. Ankota's not here, but there he is. You must have been in at that time. 76, 77, 77. You were here. And he was part of that. You joined the Bhakta program or you came another way? Huh? Oh, you were buried. But you didn't never came here on the Bhakta program? You missed it. You missed the fun. You escaped. I mean, he's Indian. Maybe it was a reason. He knows everything. Doesn't he? Does. They know everything. So he, you know, after... You know, 1 month on that back to pro, and then they go on book distribution for 1 day. You know, 1 day. Dhanavir would send them, I put them on. We had different, we had Kalyapani, who was like, you know, the trooper, what do you call it? You know, he's like parachute, you know, like the front line party, boom, out the door. He was like a rock, you know. I remember one devotee went on his party, fantastic devotee. I wish we could find him. He lives in Watford. Won't mention his name, humble man personified. But, you know, Kalyapani was so amazing devotee. I mean, absolutely amazing. They used to call him, they used to call me the gentle fanatic. They used to call him the fanatic. He was such an amazing devotee, absolutely blissful devotee. And in his party, there was this one devotee, he was so humble. And Kalyapani was driving. You know what it's like when you're driving, you have this attack of sneezing. You're driving the car, what you do, you know? And he just turned around and went, whew! And it all came right on his face like this, all over him. He said, thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. I feel so fortunate. I've been purified by the snot of a devotee. He was so humble. We had another time, Raghavir. He was in Ireland, I think it was a marathon, but it was in the middle of winter, you know. There's this one devotee, he was, you know, all different devotees used to join. We had devotees who used to go out in the fields and, you know, steal cabbages. They were so hungry, you know. They eat raw cabbages. We had all kinds here. Another devotee here, and he's a good devotee. He became a temple president. I just got to tell this, I can't stop. This is one of the funniest stories. You never believe this one. It's a real fact. It was when I was still with Dhanavir on the Bhakta program. There was this one boy, he was from Spain. I've forgotten his Spanish name. But he later on took initiation, believe it or not. But that time he was back to something or another. And he went a little crazy. And we were all crazy, but he went a little bit more crazy than others. He went real loopy. You know, he would come here in the temple room. His service was to empty the garbage. That was his service, you know. He would come in the temple room. We caught him coming to the temple with a garbage bucket, tipping it in front of Prabhupada, right there. He said, what are you doing? I'm offering everything to Srila Prabhupada. Had another guy here. I just finished giving the class. The class was about, it was literally about surrendering everything to Krishna. Whatever you have, you give it to Krishna. Everyone left for breakfast. I went in here with the flowers. The flowers had just arrived. I think it was 76 or so, I can't remember. I went in here to get the flowers, to sort the flowers. I came out. There was this hippie in the class, you know? Long-haired hippie. And then I looked, oh my God. He was stood right in front of the deities, naked. He took his clothes off and was offering to the deities. We had all kinds of wonderful people here in those days. You think it's funny now. Boy, some of the characters. Never forget the devotee who painted this amazing painting here. Isn't this this picture is one of the most historic paintings in ISKCON. And it was Gopal, his name was. He's in Hawaii. I don't know if he's still alive. He went to Hawaii. I've not seen him since he left for Hawaii. What an artist. There were so many devotees like that. They were kind of like, I don't like to use the word hippie, but many of the devotees you hear in the very early days, this one was soon done in 73, I think. Really early. Pardon? It was, so it was done right in 73 itself, a few months. And he would only have a few months to do this. Fantastic. He's been there ever since. The opening of this temple. Such a painting. You know, he wasn't like a full-time devotee. He was a friend, and a kind of like, you know, I suppose you'd call it like New Age these days. But what an artist, and what a service to render this post, this painting. It's like, Prabhupada is there, full on. It's incredible. Anyway, we'll finish up with the car coming from Heathrow to the manor. We started with that, we'll finish with that. 1977, you all know Prabhupada's condition of his physical frame at that time. And I thought that Prabhupada will definitely ask about books or bhaktas because we were just plugged into books and bhaktas. And that was it. Books and bhaktas. We didn't know much else. We got a few days' notice of Prabhupada's coming. So everyone was out on Sankirtan. Almost. There was a skeleton crew back here. So by that time, I guess Bajahari Prabhu was the president, I suppose. I don't know, whoever it was at that time. And whoever was here, we had to clean up the manor. Because one thing Prabhupada did notice when he would come any temple, cleanliness, tidiness, order, etc. We all know that. Everything had to be in shape, and it was not in shape. Now, it was in shape in one sense. The temple, Jayatirtha, had done so many wonderful things. But the gardens, there was so much to do. The lake, so much stuff in the lake. Lakes are not easy to maintain when you're on a marathon all year long, especially. And I remember Raghavir up to his neck in a lake, trying to clean out the lake. And it was raining. It was cold. It was summer, but you know, English summers are not always sunny. Sometimes the sun doesn't shine. So this was a period it didn't shine. So we're out there in the rain trying to clear up all the fallen branches and the leaves and the this and the that. And it's like getting sick, you know, because it was so cold and wet. And then there's 2 days, 3 days notice only. And then, you know, Prabhupada came and the devotees had all come back, of course, from Sankirtan. So then I went to the, we couldn't get a vehicle, we got a, there was something going on, we managed to get eventually some rover car, it wasn't, and I got in this car and I'd never heard of an automatic car in my life. Never seen or heard of one. I heard of it, but I'd never seen one. It was automatic. I didn't know what to do. Where's the clutch? There's no clutch on this car. All the way to the airport, I was like ramming my foot on the brake. I think it was to change gear. I put my foot on the brake, you know. I was a bag of nerves when I got to the airport. Somehow, by Krishna's grace only, somehow or another, he protected us on the way back. But I was, especially with Tamal Krishnamurti sat right next to me. I was a bag of nerves. He was like, he didn't have to say anything. He was shaking if he was All different aspects of Prabhupada's unlimited qualities to help us to surrender. So on the way back, what did Prabhupada did see a few? I couldn't hear what he said, but he whispered something in Tamal Krishna Maharaj's ears. And then he spoke it to me. He said, Srila Prabhupada wants to know, how are the cows? That's all he talked about, the cows. Nothing else. 5 minutes time. That was just a short time. You want to know how many cows, who's looking after them, are they being milked? Everything about the cows. Are the sweets being made for the deities from the cow's milk? Everything about the cows. It was so important to Prabhupada. So important. As he said to Dhananjaya in the beginning, cow protection is so important. So important. We don't realize, we realize a little bit about the deities. We're perhaps nowhere near as much as needed, but we realize something at least. But cow protection and deity worship, of course, book distribution to fulfill all of these. We see the seven purposes of ISKCON. We heard it yesterday, I think, one of the, maybe Sakshi Gopala Prabhu was singing about it. But these seven purposes are fulfilled by, you know, reduction and distribution of literatures. That's automatic. But as far as establishing the other principles in terms of their actual direct nature, cow protection and deity worship are absolutely essential. Absolutely essential. We don't realize how pleasing this is to Krishna. I didn't have an answer. I couldn't answer what Prabhupada said. It was the most embarrassing moment. I didn't know. I guessed how many cows there were. I said, someone's looking after them. They didn't have a very good goshal at that time. It was more like a shed out in the field there. It wasn't a proper goshal. I don't know what was going on between them and the deities. I had no idea whatsoever. It was really embarrassing to see that, you know, how Prabhupada was. He was so, at that time, of course, he was thinking of Varnashram. He was thinking of new Gita Nagari, talking about it in his room also. At the same time, wonder what he said, Prabhupada, and he didn't say Prabhupada, he said it's too much pressure on Prabhupada to read in the daily Sankirtan scores. And Tamal Krishna said, no. He asked Prabhupada, he said, no, these are my life. To hear these book scores, this is giving me life. It's giving me life. He wanted that too. But he definitely, when he came here, he was talking mostly about Varna Ashram, whatever that means. We never found out in one sense. We're not pure enough. If we actually become pure in the heart, I guess Krishna will reveal this to us as a matter of revelation rather than implementation in many cases. Okay, thank you all very much. I didn't read what I wanted to read. Devotees here are all Vaikuntha men, good-looking and nice-dressing. The ladies are too, don't take it wrong. They're also Vaikuntha-looking and good-looking and nice-dressing. Gokulananda is so beautiful. I shall be glad to die in that condition amongst the devotees, seeing Gokulananda. Jai. Jai. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol. Hari Bol. And that Srila Prabhupada said in 1977 when he came here. You'd be glad to die in front of the deities. We should have developed that mood ourselves. We will die for Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
Can I ask two questions?
Yes, Maharaj.
These are two transcendental memories which I have. But I never hear anyone talk about them. You were talking about the remembrances yesterday. I didn't know about it. I remember Srila Prabhupada was here, I think it must have been 1976, sitting on his Vyasasan, chanted Jai Radha Madhava and then stopped. And he stopped. And he didn't speak for what seemed like a long, long time. Everyone was very quiet. Srila Prabhupada was in ecstasy.
Which is 76?
I think it must have been 76.
76.
Yeah. Does anyone else remember that? I never hear anyone speak.
I was in the kitchen the whole time. I had this rasa. I was always doing something. Either in Bury Place, and during that 76, I was they made me head cook for 2 months. Do you remember Prabhupada was here?
Anyone remember
to a class.
No one remembers. Is it just my imagination or
probably
what?
Not.
And another thing is, then after Jayatirtha Prabhu came and everyone went out and money was coming, he said, first of all, we have to please the deities, otherwise nothing is going to work here.
Correct.
And the deities were having tiny, tiny offerings. And everyone would queue up to get a tiny little bit of Mahaprasadam. And immediately, I think he made 120 big sweets for Mongol Arati.
Yeah.
And what happened, as I remember, is that Radha Gokulan had to put on weight and they had to change all their clothes. But I never hear anyone, speaking about it.
I heard about that, but I don't know if it's actually true.
Is Manjuali
here?
We
didn't have the scales. Manjuali, you remember that? Did you have to change the dresses?
Anyone remember?
We didn't have any scales here in those days, Maharaj.
Everyone saw. They
looked bigger.
Right,
there's
right.
No doubt.
You could see they were chubby.
They became chubby. I agree. They became chubby. They're still chubby. It's same with Radha Lundeshwar.
Definitely.
You see their faces were much chubbier at one time. They go in and out, you know. There's no doubt about that. They're all crazy, but you know. There's no doubt about that. That's a fact. No, I mean, that's another error. We heard about that. I mean, the service that Jayatirtha Prabhu and his good wife and other devotees rendered here is another incredible.
I missed last night.
Universal.
So I'm going to use my position to take a minute or two and say that.
Wait a minute, I joined before you. Who do you think you are? I had to look after you when you first came here sometimes. You know how spaced out you are. You know how to go through looking after you.
Don't take up my time. We shouldn't find in front of the deities.
Wait.
I told you that in New Mayapur also. I just wanted to express.
Go for it. I apologize. Please forgive me.
I left before the Jayatirtha Prabhu had his whatever.
Yeah.
But I must say, what a beautiful devotee, and his wife also.
The best manager I've ever seen in my life in ISKCON.
Just like we used to think of them as demigods, as so beautiful people. I'm sorry I never imbibed any of your qualities.
We have one more point before you all disintegrate. And I've got to get onto it. And I had a little hint from the left, right side here, there. And it's my life and soul. It's all of our life and soul. It's Prabhupada's life and soul. What is Prabhupada's life and soul? Pardon? Srimad Bhagavatam. His life was everything built on the Bhagavatam. This movement is built on the Bhagavatam, is it not? Yes. Prabhupada went to America with how many Bhagavatam sets? First canto?
Three volumes.
Three volumes. How many sets? How many?
200.
200. Okay, it's good. Good. 200 thereabouts. Huh? That's not correct. We all say that. Prabhupada said, I didn't go to America with the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam went to America and took me with them. The Bhagavatam went to America. They took me along to serve them. We're here to serve the Bhagavat. The two Bhagavats, person and book. Huh? We're here to serve them. So we're trying to serve the devotees a little bit. We're not offending more in my case, but trying to serve the books, the devotees, the book Bhagavat. What's the best way to serve the book Bhagavat? You can answer it in different ways. They're all maybe all correct. Give a good way. How are we going to serve the book Bhagavat?
By reading and distributing.
Reading the Bhagavatam. And we heard from Shivara Maharaj yesterday how everyone in this room has read the Bhagavatam, right? All the way through to the 12th canto, by the way. Don't stop at 10:03 or whatever. Read the whole. And what's the other way? Distributing or giving it to others. If you don't have one in your home, now, you're not going to put your hand up even if you don't have it, probably. Otherwise, you know what's coming next. Is that right? Young man, have you got one in your bedroom? I don't know your name. You got a Bhagavatam? No, the one in the middle there with the glasses on. He's got black hair. Anil? You got a Bhagavatam in your bedroom? Where's your daddy?
Right here. Right here.
He needs one for his birth. It's his birthday today, so give him a Bhagavatam set, okay? One set. Special offer. How much are they today?
£175.
Oh, good. 175? Euros?
Especially, yeah. Pounds.
Pounds, okay. You've got to get a set for your son, okay? One down. Come on. What a time to get your Bhagavatam set. You're the hero of the day. It's the installation of Radha Gokul. Now you can install the Bhagavatam on your home, in your home. Come on, who wants to know? For your best enemy, your best friend, I mean. Who wants to bless your friends? Get them a Bhagavatam set. Come on, Divinam's here. Is you here? You're still here, okay. Still here, okay. Another one. Who's that? Come on. Hey, you got one. Come on, you can... Everyone should come forward. We're having a Vaisheshika Prabhu. What's it called this year? Badra campaign. But it's got a... What's it? That singer. What's his name? Singer? That lion?
Singer.
If you don't get your set, you might get attacked by Singer. Be careful. The lion. The fierce lions. You got the Singer campaign. Here it is. What's this? Yeah, and if you want to sponsor, is this for sponsoring? What's the price for sponsoring?
£99 for a village in India or a gift to their friends in India.
The best thing you do, you know, you sponsor a Bhagavatam set to someone. It's an auspicious day, especially tomorrow. What an auspicious day. Sponsor a set of Bhagavatams for people who can't afford it. People have never even heard of it, maybe. Not, they may be in India, but they'll be receiving it in Hindi or some other language. Or in Africa, they'll be receiving maybe English in your areas. If you want to sponsor a French Bhagavatam set in Africa, you see me, not him. Okay? He doesn't have any. You don't have any.
Africa is sending the sets around. We also have, I just wanted to mention very briefly, very sacred beads which are being flown from Vrindavan today.
Beads?
Tulsi beads, Maharaj, neck beads. And they've been dipped in all the holy kuns in Vrindavan, Radha Kund, Shyam Kund, all the places. And tomorrow morning they will be offered to the lordships here at Radha Gokulananda on their 50th anniversary. And anyone who sponsors a Bhagavatam today to Africa, India, or takes it one home.
Whoa.
Tomorrow, after they've been offered to the lordships, we will be giving them out. These are neck beads which are dipped around all Vrindavan during the month of Purushottam, actually. So I just wanted to mention...
Come on, let's sponsor a set. Come on, let's set our hands up. Sponsor sets, buy sets, do something or no. Okay, hands up, come on, hands up. Come on, hands up, take the names. Come on, get those names. Huh? Take a photo. Keep your hands up, they will put their hands down. Keep your hands up, come you misers. Keep your hands up, come on. If you're a miser, you'll be miserable. Don't... In front of the deities. You're making this pledge in front of the deities. Huh? I sponsored 100 sets in France. Huh? Doesn't count. Okay, we'll sponsor one here.
So please come and see us.
Come on. No, that's not enough. You go. Hands up. Come on. More hands. Come on. Ladies, come on, get your hands up. It's only £99. If you want to pay more, you can pay more, minimum. Okay. In front of the day, you must have at least 15 or 20 there, I think.
Yes,
at least. Is that okay? You want more?
More than okay. More than...
Hold the prasadam. No, unless you sponsor a bag with them set, no prasadam. Another hand went up quickly there. And another one over there.
Josh.
We're not in control. I'm not the lord of the manor. Krishna is the Lord of the Manor. Thank you all very, very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Transcendental Prasad Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. This will bring... Yeah. 9 o'clock. We've gone over time. We've got a few sets out there. Thank you, Alan. We only did 6 in Soho Street. That was more than 6, wasn't it? Yeah, well, there are more devotees here. Okay.
His Holiness Jananda Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Is all the holinesses Ki Jai. All the I know lady holinesses. Holinessers? No, I'm not sure. All the holy devotees, Ki Jai!